Good afternoon and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know what? Before I started my own business and before I started using a lot of these fantastic social media tools to grow my business, I thought I was a good listener. And my history as an attorney, I had to be a good listener, although my parents always disagreed that I was a good listener. But you know what? One of the things I've discovered is that there's a difference between listening, like as a regular human being listening, which is an art as well, and listening as a business owner who is trying to position their product in a way that appeals to a particular type of customer. And today on Indie Business Podcast, we're going to be talking to someone who's written an entire book about that. And we're going to surface, because you know you guys need to go out and get this book after we're done. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. His name is Stephen Rappaport, and he is the author of Listen First, Turning Social Media Conversations into Business Advantage. This is like a playbook, he says. And let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Steve Rappaport is the lead author of The Online Advertising Playbook, Proven Strategies and Tested Tactics from the Advertising Research Foundation. At the Advertising Research Foundation, Steve is a Knowledge Solutions Director. He is a sought-after speaker at industry conferences, and he holds workshops and strategy sessions with leading brands and lectures at major business schools. So we have him all to ourselves here on our podcast today. Steve, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Now, I want to tell you guys that Steve has some experience in the handmade industry. He's worked with handmade soap makers before, so we're going to tap into some of his expertise from a general perspective and also sort of tie it into what we know we have questions about when it comes to people that actually make the products they sell. So, Steve, let's just kind of get started and dive right in here with mm-hmm. something that I want to ask you based on reading your book, this, based on an overall impression that I get. I'm struck by what seems to be an indication that no matter what business you have today, you really are in the publishing business as well. Is that a fair statement? Can you speak to that a little bit in a broad sense before we nail some of the nitty-gritty down?
I just want to make sure so that we're all in the publishing business?
Yeah, in the sense that your book talks mm-hmm. a lot about creating, listening to people so you can create conversations, so you can create content, so you can mm-hmm. use some sorts of, media tools
yes.
in order to deliver the content. So I guess I'm just looking at business today, and I'm thinking, you know, people have a blog, and it creates content, and that's what drives the business forward in some respect. Those people mm-hmm. may not be publishers like, you know, New York Times, but in their own sense, are they publishers to some extent? Should we look at ourselves in this way as we move forward with this listening-first sort of mindset?
Well, it's an interesting way of talking about it, and the answer is yes, because if we take a really broad view of publishing, right, which is more than just writing something and putting it on the web, or publishing a forum post or something like that, but if we think of publishing as really creating an experience for our business. Listening is absolutely essential to that. And what I mean is that if you really listen carefully I just gave a talk which I call Listening with the Third Ear, right? And the idea of listening with the third ear is to go beyond what many people do, which is listen for words that people say, little phrases or something, but if you really listen with the third ear, which is extremely important for all businesses and essential for small business, what it means is to bring every ability you have to interpret what someone is saying, to sympathize with them, to understand their motivations, their concerns, their problems, their fears, their hopes, all of that, and then take that, internalize it, interpret it, and then publish, right? That's the value of listening. And by publishing, it can be how you write your ad copy. It could be how you present your product or service. It could be how you design your website. but it's really the display of what you understand about that person, and for that, yes, we can call that publishing.
And it's interesting. I love that terminology, the third ear. It sort of speaks to the fact that you're listening, but you're listening in a way that's not necessarily visible to the outside world, and it doesn't make itself apparent until you've created some sort of content or advertising or whatever message it is that shows you've been listening.
That's right. And it's really, you know, I mean, not to, you know, talk about the book so much, but it's just that when I was writing the book, I developed over 50 case studies, and I asked and I invited over 30 essays from people who are experts in listening. And when I looked over all of those, you know, there was a few case studies, and there were a few essays that really stood out as really being heads and shoulders above everything else. And when I really tried to understand why, what leaped out at me was that they were bringing much more to listening than anybody else. They were really trying to get inside and understand their customer's mind and their mindset, not just recognize what they're doing, but really understand them as individuals and as individual people. So actually, I was talking this over with a friend of mine. And he said, have you ever read Listening with the Third Ear? And I said, no, I'm not familiar with it. He said, it was written by a psychoanalyst named Theodore Reich in the 50s. And it was he was a psychoanalyst, but it was all about bringing your intuition and your experience to bear on what you're hearing, not just relying on your knowledge and learning. And that's what the real power of listening is to listen with that third ear.
Oh, you know? That's an interesting way to think about it. And, you know, Steve, as small business owners, and you mentioned earlier that it's important for all businesses, but especially mm-hmm. for small business owners, why is
Absolutely.
It so much more vital for small business owners? And, you know, our listeners are very, very small business owners, micro business owners even. Why is it so important for us to listen in that way?
Well, I've had small businesses. You know, some were not successful. But 25 years ago, I opened a restaurant with my mother, and it was a small. I have a food background as well, and one of the things I always wanted to do was have a small restaurant on an island with lots of boats. You know, and you know, my fantasies were that it would be someplace exotic, you know, and things. But but the way that things happened was that my mother presented me with an opportunity that I knew would only come once in my lifetime, which was to take over. She bought a building that had been historically like a donut shop and a coffee shop and things, and she bought it as an investment, but she said, "Steve, this is something you've always wanted to do. You know, how about if you do it now?" So I thought about it, and probably like many of the people on the phone, I'm one of these people who, if there's something that I want to do, I'm going to do it, and even if it doesn't always make the most sense, but just because it has to be done. And that's why I felt about this restaurant. So I went up to this small place called City Island in New York. And I started and if any of the people on the phone know City Island, it has a very, very rich nautical history. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the America's Cup defenders were built there until 1970. In the 19th century it was the oyster capital of New York. I mean, it really has this very, very rich history. And so because of that, the way that businesses developed on the island were either nautical businesses or restaurants, you know, specializing in seafood. So I went up there and I said, I wonder what kind of restaurant people would like. Not looking at the restaurants that were there, right? But what is it? Where would the need really be? And so I just started walking around and talking to people. and saying, gee, you know, I'm going to come up here, and but what kind of restaurant would you like,
mm-hmm.
right?
Ah.
And then I start, yeah. And so I probably talked to maybe 100 people asking just the same question and not saying, would you like this or that, but what would you like? And then I would probe their answers, right? So I wasn't doing like a market research survey. Instead, I was really trying to understand what people valued. And,
okay.
And take, yeah, you got it?
Yeah,
so,
that's really good.
Yeah.
Good way to describe it, because what people value is reflected by how they spend your money, spend their money.
That's right.
So if you can
spend
your money, so if you can tap what they value, then you can tap into what means enough to them to pull out their Visa card when you have something to offer them.
Exactly, so, and then if I may, just take that lesson, right? Because I used it to develop the services and things like that, which we can talk about another time. But that same idea I used with a friend of mine who was starting a personal care business, and she was a certified herbalist,
mm-hmm.
And she wanted to create a line of skincare products, you know, soaps and things like that, using all natural and organic ingredients, and very much in line with herbal practices, so that some would be energizing and some would be calming. And she had a whole line of bath salts and things like that. And so she had all this. She had all these ideas. She was making product, but in terms of really getting distribution, it was very difficult for her to do, as it is with many, you know, small, you know, sort of health and beauty companies, because it, you know, shelf space is limited and all of that. So I encouraged her to say, let's get some real reaction out here. So instead of going to store after store and trying to get inside and talk to the right person, let's take it to the street. And so So we came up with a plan to go to street fairs, mostly in New York City, and just be out there and have people come by and talk about what they like, but to ask them, why would they be interested in something like this? Why,
mm-hmm.
What are they looking to get out of it? And it's that mm-hmm. listening with the third ear that helped her develop her product line. And within 18 months, she had distribution in 32 states.
So tell me, when she first went out to the street fairs, did she set
mm-hmm.
up a table and start selling and do customer surveys with the products there available? Or how did she attract people to her?
Sampling.
Okay.
Because if you've been to a big street fair in New York City, they go on for
mm-hmm.
blocks, you rent the table and you put out your wares, whatever they may be,
mm-hmm.
and people come by and you talk with them about it. But what I encouraged her to do,
mm-hmm.
Pat, was not to start telling them about how wonderful your product is, but to talk with them about what their conditions are, what they're looking to accomplish. It's a
mm-hmm.
it just flips it. It's the opposite of what most marketers do, which is tell, but by listening, you're really asking your customer to tell you what's important to them.
You know, this is really good because most people, and I don't know your friend, but if she was an herbalist, then she probably
mm-hmm.
had a real passion for the product that she made, and she knew that they would be helpful to people. But what you're saying is that she wasn't able to sell her product the way she wanted to just by saying what she knew. She had to collect the information based on other people's experiences. Now, tell us, Steve, once she went to these street fairs and collected this information, what did she
mm-hmm.
do with it? How did she translate that into being able to get appointments with the buyers that she couldn't get before?
Well, because we've all been vendors, right? So, you know, and
her products around? Did she say,
yeah,
oh
no,
my
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
The way that she was able to get the appointments was this. Instead of calling up and saying, I've got this new skincare line, it's so wonderful, it's herbal, it's organic, you know, it's with all these, you know, esoteric principles of energy and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
People have heard that a zillion times, right?
Right.
But instead, what she was able to do was to say, I'd like to come and tell you about my product because customers are telling me this, 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 and this. Do your customers talk to you about that?
Mm.
And now all of a sudden, you see what I'm saying? So what she was able to do was flip the conversation to, I've got something I can tell you about your customer that you may not know,
uh-huh.
versus I got something else for you to sell. Big difference.
Very good. Very good. Because if you can get into the mind of that customer, and actually, if you're helping your customer, who is the buyer
yeah.
or the retailer, you're helping mm-hmm. your customer understand their customer, and you're not only offering a product for them to sell, you're also, in essence, coupling a good service, too, right? Because you're educating them about their customers.
Absolutely right.
Wow.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's always Now, we'll just take, as long as we're on this line, we'll just take one more example.
Okay.
And this is how somebody developed a product using online tools, because we talked pretty much offline, right? And this is a company, some people may know it, called J&D's Food Products. And it was two guys who were sitting around one day, and they both loved bacon. And they said, gee, when did out a bacon flavored salt, what do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And people said, it's great, where do I sign up? And before it's a remarkable story and it's true. But before they even had a product, they used this very simple approach to test a concept, identify a potential market, right? And they got orders. Once they had the orders, then they worked with a supplier to develop the product. So now today, it's 5 or 6 years later, they've got a diversified portfolio of bacon-flavored things. They even have bacon-flavored envelopes, bacon-flavored mayonnaise and things. And they're gaining a lot of distribution. But they're because now I see some of their products in my local supermarket.
Uh-huh.
But it was all done by this listening. What do you know, using listening for concept testing.
Wow.
I
love your idea of spinning around that conversation with your potential retail customer, your wholesale
Teach
customer.
Teach them something, yes. Teach
yeah.
them something they don't know. They don't
oh.
know. Don't impress them because, I mean, you know, we've all been through that. We've all sat in the waiting rooms, you know, yet another one coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good point. Such great insights from Steve
yeah.
Rappaport, the author of Listen First, Turning Social
yeah.
Media Conversations into Business Advantage. So let's take this online a little
okay.
bit here. In evaluating what you call the listening solutions, you have a list.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just kind of see if we can hit them really quickly here in our conversation. There
mm-hmm.
are five of them, and the first is search engines. Can you just
yeah.
briefly describe what you mean by that as a listening solution?
Sure. There are some tools out there that specialize. There are some search engines that specialize in social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what they do, so they'll search Twitter, they'll search
mm-hmm.
MySpace, they'll search forums, blogs, review sites, things like that. And what they'll do, so you search it just like you would Google, and what it will do is it will show you the conversations and the threads relating to that. So it's a very, they provide a very quick way
mm-hmm.
to start finding and locating the conversations that may be of interest to you. Some of them will even go further and report sentiment around that conversation. That has actually quite limited value. That's a whole other discussion, but take my word for it.
Steve, can you give an example of a service that you're talking about now?
Yes. Social Mention.
Okay.
Is one that will present most of everything that I just mentioned. It'll talk about sentiment. It'll It'll show trending over time. It will show individual conversations, and so forth. So using especially the real-time search engines can be very good for getting a sense of what people are talking about.
Excellent, excellent. And by the way, guys, mm-hmm. I went to socialmention.com, and it's right there, real-time social media search and analysis. And you can search through blogs, videos, questions, comments, images. This is just mm-hmm. a wonderful tool. And it looks like at least part of it is free. So you can just log
it's
on
free.
There.
Yeah.
And how great is that? Okay, socialmention.com, a great resource from
right.
our guest
Another
here.
One, yeah. In this category, another one that's especially valuable is called Google Insights for Search. And, and I don't know the URL offhand, but if you Google it, it'll come right up. But what Google Insights for Search does is very, very powerful. One is that you can take a term, right, like beauty, for example, and it will trend it for you over time, so you can see searches in beauty, right? But that's a very general term, and you might want to get more specific. So you might want to talk about, say, some type of nail care or some sort of, cosmetic or something. You can do that. You can also search on terms at the same time. So I don't have a good example here. Maybe you can help me, Donna Maria. But say you're looking for organic hair care versus, regular hair care, mm-hmm. you could actually compare the trends in the different search terms and see which is more popular, how they're trending, and so
right,
forth.
Right, right.
It gets even better, because what it will do is it will suggest related keywords that you can search on. So you can start to get an idea of when people search for this, they're also searching for that. Right, very, very helpful. But also it will do two other things that are really powerful. One is it will show you the search terms in relationship to major news events or business events, so you can see if there's something that's driving that interest mm-hmm. and what it might be. The second is that it will show you the interest in those search terms geographically. So, for example, I'll give you one example. It happens to be for a coffee maker. There's in the single cup coffee makers, there's Tassimo and there's Keurig. Well, Keurig is owns 90% of the market. Tassimo is a contender, and so the people that run the Tassimo business looked at all kinds of things, right? What are people, the price, the performance, everything. And what they found was that the two coffee makers were pretty comparable. So they're really a parity. But yet, Keurig has 90% of the market, and mm-hmm. Tassimo wants to increase that. And by using Google Insights for Search, what they discovered was that when people search for Tassimo, it concentrated in the Northeast, especially in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them the pivotal insight, which is that if they're going to build their business, it's going to be where people are searching.
Right.
They're searching in the Northeast and New England, and it affected their advertising, their marketing, their merchandising, their in-store displays, and everything. So by seeing where the popularity of the keywords are,
mm-hmm.
it'll give you an idea of your own distribution strategy.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah.
That's very useful. And these tools, I just tweeted them,
they're free.
Right? Twitter.com/indie business account and also tweeted you, Steve, so people could come back and get those links later on
sure.
when they're ready. So, Steve, in the time we have left, let's talk about just mm-hmm. one more of the listening solutions. We have a few minutes. I want to ask mm-hmm. you what private communities are. What do you mean by that as a listening solution?
Well, for small companies, they're pretty much out of the, it's not an option. A private community is one that's invitation only. They're really run for the benefit of brands. They have anywhere from a few hundred to a couple of thousand people,
mm-hmm.
and they're run and managed by a third party. The best known of all of them
mm-hmm.
is called Communispace, And but these run into hundreds of thousands a year. So
dollars, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. In terms of dollars. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if a community based on something like maybe a Ning site, NING.com, or there's one social where you can kind of create your own private social network.
You can do that. Yeah, you can do that. And it's only because I've done it and I have the experience.
Uh-huh.
It's just that in order to really develop it, you need to put in a ton of time, right? And also what happens is, because I've tried this even here at the ARF, is that you're probably better off doing a LinkedIn community or some other community where people already are. But to create another place for people to go that is, they don't get a lot of traction.
Right, and Facebook
LinkedIn
place. Groups, Facebook groups, and of course with Google Plus now, Google Circles, where I can imagine, I've talked with some people about this, creating a circle of your store customers, the buyers, where you have maybe even just a monthly 30-minute meeting with them, because you can get 10 people on a video chat at one time. And you can with them about what the latest research that you've done is showing about what their customers are buying. So you're delivering them more value than just, you know, do you need another case of my bath salts? So
exactly.
I love that insight that you shared, too, about how it is difficult to establish an alternative community. I've seen it done before, but you're right. It does take a lot of time. It's worth it, though, for some people that I've seen do it. Steve, this has been a fantastic a fantastic show. I want to make sure I let you guys know. Listen First is the name of the book. Listen First, Turning Social Media Conversations into Business Advantage. Steve has delivered two free websites just in the few minutes that we've had on the phone here. This book is filled not only with other website resources, but really with case studies of businesses large and small who are listening first and being successful with the tips and strategies that Steve shares in this book. I highly encourage you to get it. Steve, we know you're on Twitter at twitter.com/Steve Rappaport. What is your website? Tell us where to go to get more of you.
It's called listenfirst.thearf.org. So the ARF is T-H-E-A-R-F.
Okay.
.org. And, and I post, you know, I'm not one of these people who like, post, you know, several times a week. Mm-hmm. When I have something to say, I post something. But there's videos, there's resources, there's all kinds of things that people may find helpful. And in terms of the tools, I just want to add that there is an appendix in Listen First, which reviews over 70 different vendors. Many of the free and low-cost tools are in there. So it can be a very good resource for everyone.
Excellent. Follow Steve on Twitter and also go to his website. And you can Google also to make sure you get the book. Just Google Listen First and the author's name, Steve Rappaport, and you will hit right on it. This is a fantastic resource. I'm going to blog this show later today, and you'll have a chance to win a copy of this book at indiebusinessblog.com. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you the best with your book and all the other great work you're doing to help businesses be successful. Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me. It was really a privilege to talk to you and everybody else.
Thank you. That's our show this week, guys. We'll see you next week for another edition of Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.